Eric Weinmayer is a man used to taking on challenges. In 2001, he became the first and only blind man to summit Mount Everest. His latest feat? Kayaking all 277 miles of the Grand Canyon. He was helped only by guides communicating with Eric through radios. Here's a bit of sound of his epic and dangerous trip.
Heart rate, heart rate, heart rate! Charge, charge, charge!
Eric Weinmayer's new book is No Barriers, A Blind Man's Journey to Kayak the Grand Canyon. No Barriers USA is also the name of his nonprofit that seeks to help others overcome physical and mental challenges. Eric Weinmayer spoke with us about his book and losing his sight to a rare degenerative disease when he was in his teens.
I went blind just before my freshman year in high school, and that was a crazy feeling of literally not being able to take a step and then being led into school for the first time. As a newly blinded person being led around from class to class and being led to the bathroom. I remember sitting in the cafeteria. I'd sit there, you know, like I didn't want to sit next to anyone. I'd sat at a table by myself and I'd listen to all the excitement and laughter and joy, all the, you know, like food fights and fun things happening around me. And, you know, definitely going blind was a fear, but not being in the food fights, not being in the thick of things, like thinking I was going to be swept to the sidelines in this dark place and left there in this sort of kind of like a prison, that was like 100 times scarier than blackness.
You write that when you were 16, you discovered rock climbing and that helped bring you out. Tell us about what that did for you emotionally and physically.
Opposed to sitting in the cafeteria and all the fear that I worried about, rock climbing was incredible. It was a sensory experience of feeling the different fissures and holds and cracks and pockets in the rock and not being able to see them, but using my hands as my eyes and feeling my way up the rock face like this sort of hidden map in the rock, and then getting to the top and listening to this valley below me. Blind people listen to sound, you know, the vibrations of sound that echo off of things and move through space. And it's a really beautiful sense. And listening to that valley and the sound of space and the trees blowing, I just thought, this is adventure. Like, and that was cool because that created the trajectory of my life. And 16 years later, I was standing at 29,000 feet. So It was a long road, but it started moving me in the right direction.
In 2001, when you were on the summit of Everest, you accomplished what no blind person had done before. But your expedition leader turned to you and said, "Don't make Everest be the greatest thing you do." How did that motivate you?
It was the greatest advice anyone could have done for
me. But hard to take at that time. You're all you're burned out
like
and
you're
feeling
thinking,
on top of the world.
PV, terrible timing. Like, let me go home and relax and celebrate. And, you know, most people are dreaming about all the comforts of home. I was dreaming about walking down a nice, smooth sidewalk that wouldn't kill me. And what he was saying was that these successes in our lives, these sort of pivotal moments in our lives, you know, you go home and you hang your pictures and you get your awards and, you know, and then that room becomes a funeral. Like, it becomes the thing that you look back on instead of, you know, how do I move forward? How do I take those successes and use them as springboards to launch you into these new, surprising, exciting directions?
Let's turn to the challenge that's at the center of your book, Kayaking the Grand Canyon. Just the physical challenges of kayaking without being able to see the water. Take us through what's involved for you in learning to kayak.
As a blind person, you know, I couldn't look at like old Wide World of Sports videos of people kayaking. So you have to learn kinesthetically. One of the ways you learn is get yourself in the middle of that thing and ride that energy. And kayaking was an incredible sensory experience. Sometimes it felt like sensory overload because you're getting knocked over left and right and you're rolling up and I don't know which way I'm facing and I got to whip my boat around and just take those waves. These forces that are so much bigger than you. And then you're riding a line too. You know, every rapid sort of has a map and they call it the line. And so you, just like that rock face, you're trying to navigate that line. You never quite achieve that line unless you're really lucky, especially when you're blind. You're doing more reacting than acting.
It's incredibly hard when you're sighted. I've been on less intense rivers, just doing some rafting, and just to find your way, look ahead and try to understand and read the river is just incredibly difficult. You talk about how you start out on a lake and then move to a section of the Green River, and finally you're there, you know, at Lava Falls in the Grand Canyon, and that goes pretty tough. I mean, it's you're sort of upside down most of the time. Take us through that, Falls.
Yeah, I mean, there are harder rapids, but this is the biggest rapid in the Grand Canyon, and in a canyon known for giant rapids. And I got in my boat and just got hammered. Even my guide, Harlan, who had done the Grand Canyon 100 times or more, he knew every rapid and every water level. You know, he braced his paddle against one of these massive waves, and it busted his carbon fiber paddle in half and knocked him over. He was upside down, blood pouring out his nose, shattered paddle, trying to roll up, trying to communicate with me, just getting hammered under, you know, thousands of pounds of water, trying to roll up, listening for Harlan's directions. There's definitely, in kayaking, different from mountains. Mountains, you can stop and you can sort of regain control. You can take these potentially uncontrollable situations, kind of bring them under control in your mind. Kayaking is the same thing, but there's never full control. It's a great lesson for kind of a controller like me, because it was as much about letting go and just trying to ride these forces that are so massive. They're bigger than anything you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you're not just doing this for thrills, and we should point out you have a team and you use radios and some other high-tech devices to help you. But, you know, sometimes those radios break frequently and you're on your own.
Well, I should also say that I have an amazing team. So I don't see myself as a blind daredevil. You know, I've never seen myself as like a blind Evel Knievel, just taking massive amounts of risk. And yeah, you definitely are on your own sometimes, and there's a lot of flailing and slamming into rocks and pulling your skirt and swimming for your life, and that's part of the learning process. You know, like, I wish growth, you know, in our lives were like a nice, neat arc and a nice crescendo at the top, and then, you know, like, everyone goes home like watching a movie. It's not. It's messy. And one of the things that I was really fascinated by in this experience was, how do you go from, you know, sitting at that cafeteria when I was a kid to experiencing life fully? The map that you create is so uncertain. It's so dark. And nobody, I thought, had ever adequately illuminated what that map looked like for people. And so for me, 100%, being in a rapid is messy. And things go wrong. Radios stop when you least expect it. Going into one rapid, it's like funny now when I think about it, because we were testing different radios. And a second before I went into the rapid, it stopped working. And I'm screaming, no radios, no radios. And my friend Rob is behind me, paddling furiously, trying to get to me, screaming, plan B, which is just get right behind me and yell at the top of his lungs. I'm like, you know, life is so insane sometimes. Right. But that's the kind of stuff you have to work through if you want to wind up sort of being in the thick of things and living this life that matters.
When you finished kayaking the Grand Canyon, how did you feel? Were you spent and tired, or were you already looking for your next challenge?
Well, you are tired for sure. I'd been kayaking for 20 days. My family met me. They drove down this long dirt road, flew into Phoenix and drove all the way there. My son, my daughter, my wife, they were there right on the shore. And so when I pulled in, they were there. I hugged my wife, and even the head Sherpa on my Everest expedition, Kami, was there. And Harlan, who was guiding me down the river, he broke down in tears. And that was a lot of responsibility, because he wanted to show me his home, this beautiful canyon that had become his home. But yet at the same time, Harlan was getting knocked over and trying to roll up and look, and where's Eric, and trying to navigate me through. And so there was a lot of pressure on his shoulders and on my team. So for him to get me through safely was just an incredible feeling for everyone, not just for me.
Eric Weinmayer's new book is No Barriers, A Blind Man's Journey to Kayak the Grand Canyon. Eric, it was a pleasure speaking with you and reading your book. Thank you.
Thank you. Enjoy it.